Folks in Washington are making big moves that'll affect our wallets. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Mark Garrison in for David Brancaccio. We are right in the middle of a very unusual week where the big business news is mostly coming not from here in New York, but out of Washington, leading the agenda and moving the markets this morning. President Trump's budget proposal and the latest policy moves by the Fed. To get a handle on how all of this will affect us, we've got Marketplace's senior reporters with us live from Washington, Kimberly Adams and Nancy Marshall-Genzer. We will speak to Nancy in a moment about the Fed. First to Kimberly, who's looking at the budget coming out of the White House. Kimberly, the full budget comes out in a few minutes, but you've gotten an early look. Budgets are one of the ways Washington picks winners and losers. So let's start with the winners. Who's getting the big money in this budget?
So some of the big money really goes to defense spending. So President Trump wants $54 billion increase in military spending plus money for the border wall. Mexico still says it won't pay for it. But really the biggest winner overall is those who favor a smaller government. This proposal dramatically cuts the size of the federal government. It's a $1.15 trillion plan. For comparison, President Obama's last budget proposal was $4.15 trillion. Now, although the overall size of the budget would be smaller, things like defense spending are getting that boost.
Okay, defense and security as winners. Who are some of the losers?
The biggest cut seemed to be at the Environmental Protection Agency. That department would see its budget cut by more than a third, with more than 50 of its programs completely eliminated. The State Department would also see big cuts, about a 28% reduction, limiting foreign aid and grants to international organizations like the UN and the World Bank. Domestically, there are several anti-poverty and community development programs across agencies that would lose significant funding.
Okay, this is the president's take, but this is the opening bid of a process that Congress is going to weigh in on. What happens next?
So, right, this is just the budget proposal, and Congress really has the power of the purse to approve a budget proposal or not. And you can imagine, for every one of these cuts proposed by the Trump administration, there's going to be someone, and probably lots of someones, calling their members of Congress and asking them to fight those cuts.
You could bet on that. Thank you, Kimberly. So that is the budget, fiscal policy. Monetary policy is the business of the Federal Reserve, and this is a very important week for it. Let's go now to Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer. Nancy, you were there with Fed Chair Janet Yellen as the quarter-point interest rate hike came out yesterday. What did she have to say about these moves the Trump administration and the Congress are talking about in terms of spending changes, tax changes, and how they might impact the economy?
Yeah, and she was asked, hey, what would happen if Trump's proposals for tax cuts and a big boost in infrastructure spending were approved by Congress? If they were to actually happen, they could lead to higher inflation. And Yellen was asked, would the Fed raise interest rates faster to counteract that? She said she couldn't comment on a hypothetical situation.
Okay, leaving lots of options open. So let's move on to the main business of yesterday, the rate hike. Why did she say that she and her colleagues decided to move?
Well, she said the economy is strong, ready for a rate hike right now. Inflation is closing in on the Fed's target of 2%. And she said the unemployment rate is continuing to fall.
And there's always that thing with monetary policy. You can push, but not push too hard. You're trying to get the timing right, and it's hard to know how it's going to work. What did people say when they were asking her, hey, is this too soon? Is this too aggressive? Are you tightening too quickly?
Yeah, I mean, some critics of the Fed say wages aren't growing fast enough. Some people are still struggling with low wages. You don't want to pile an interest rate increase on top of that. But Yellen told me wages are starting to rise.
I take that as a signal that we're coming closer to our maximum employment objectives. But productivity is, for those focusing on wage growth, productivity is an additional important factor.
Now, Mark, there's quite a debate about this. Some economists say the recession depressed investment in research and development, and companies just aren't innovating enough, and that's lowering productivity growth. And Minneapolis Fed President Neel Kashkari voted against the rate hike yesterday, so it was not a unanimous vote.
Okay, lots going on in Washington that's affecting business, affecting our pocketbooks. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer and Kimberly Adams over there. Thanks very much.
You're welcome, Mark.
All right, let's do the numbers. Stocks are up in global trading. In the UK, shares are up about 1%. In Germany, the same. In France, shares up 0.9%. And Asian markets closed up. People using subprime loans to buy cars are falling behind on payments at the highest rate since the financial crisis. That could lead to higher costs for people who want to purchase cars and also trouble for automakers. Marketplace's Mariel Segarra explains.
Subprime loans are riskier than other loans because they're made to people who don't have the best credit history. Lawrence J. White is an economics professor at the NYU Stern School of Business.
They've got some blemishes. They may have delayed repayment in the past.
To make that risk worth it, lenders charge higher interest rates. Now, with losses from these subprime auto loans rising to more than 9% as of January, auto lenders will probably raise interest rates even more. Stephen Ricciuto is an economist for Mizuho Securities USA.
This then raises the cost of financing a car for individuals.
Yesterday's rate hike by the Federal Reserve will also bump up interest rates and could make cars more expensive.
And that's going to make it harder for car companies to sell product.
Ricciuto points out the automakers already have a huge backlog of cars sitting on their lots. In New York, I'm Mariel Segarra for Marketplace.
Much more on these stories and many other stories all the time at marketplace.org. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.